unanimous decision.
ESPN fight analyst Teddy Atlas, all fired up! And he had every right to be. Manny Pacquiao took what will be an unwarranted blemish on his historical record. On that note, let me bid you a good morning and welcome you to another edition of Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman, and we are here every Sunday from 8 to 9 on the official radio home of the NHL's newest franchise, the Vegas Golden Knights. Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. I said we because always here with me, manning the big board, chiming in, and taking your calls, and sometimes doing all of those things simultaneously while rocking a bucket hat, although not today, and watching soccer on the studio flat screen. Standing approximately 4 feet in front of me, future Nevada Broadcasting Hall of Fame member, Magnum the Producer. We are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Studio in Las Vegas and streaming on LVSportsNetwork.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM and on Facebook. The page is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Without you, there's no show. So if you have an opinion or something to add, give Magnum a call. Turn down your radio and say what you got to say. The Fox Sports Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University. I mean, I'm sorry if you've had enough of the Pacquiao Horn saga, as that is all every sports entity from here to China has been talking about for the past 10 hours. Well, you're going to get more of it here. Magnum was texting me last night, and we both have a mind to speak ours. My man Teddy Atlas definitely speaks his.
Listen, congratulations, great effort. I thought you lost. But great effort. I thought this guy was landing the punches. You were throwing a lot that were missing. But you showed great heart. The heart of a champion, no doubt about that. The character of a champion. But let me ask you, you fought an honest fight. So I'm going to take for granted you're an honest guy. And I'm going to ask you, did you feel after that ninth round, a very difficult round, after that round where it was almost stopped, I mean, you heard the words of the ref. He said, I'm going to stop this fight if you don't do something. And your own corner told you that. Did you really think that you were winning that fight?
If I thought I was winning the fight at that stage, yes. If I thought I was outpointing him, I thought I was coming forward more and landing the cleaner blows. That's just my opinion. I respect your opinion, too.
That was ridiculously cool. I mean, how often do we hear an athlete get called out right after a performance? So, yes, that subject has life left in it. An NBA free agency opened yesterday, and as expected, moves were made. One move that made me put the remote down for a few minutes, because although moves were expected to be made, unexpected things happened. And speaking of the world's highest paid athletes, we are only days away from basketball's newest and youngest stars coming to Las Vegas to play in the 13th annual NBA Summer League at the Cox Pavilion and Thomas and Mack. NBA Summer League Vice President Albert Hall will be here to fill us in on everything that will be happening starting this Friday. If you're a fan or an autograph seeker, I suggest you hang around. Also joining the show after blazing and fact this, Las Vegas 51's Media Relations Director Jim Gemma, talking about the awesome 4th of July fireworks display that will be happening after the game this Tuesday night. And if you're still here, you'll have a chance to win a family four-pack to go see that game. Plus, we'll hear from Jason Garrison, who as of a little over a week ago, via the expansion draft, became a member of the Vegas Golden Knights. On tap at Bubby's University, earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff where the only majors are mayhem and good times. Bring your Rebel ID and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. That's right. They are always open. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. To learn more, check out bubbysuniversity.com. Mags, I don't even know where to begin, man. I mean, I did watch the fight a second time, and I will tell you this. When I watched it a second time, it was closer than I thought it was the first time. So I sat there for a minute, and I actually agreed with five-time world champion Timothy Bradley Jr., who at first was nuts when I heard him say late in the fight that he said this fight's a lot closer than you think it is. The second time I watched it was, but Mags, doesn't it all come down to punches landed? Granted, Horn threw more, but my God in heaven, did Manny Pacquiao land more. He got robbed again. It's the second time in this guy's career. He has two losses on his record, Mags, that are tarnishments, that are bad things, that look bad because they are considered losses. And Mags, in both cases, they were judges' errors.
Well, I look at it this way, and I will preface by saying that I used to be, keyword on used to, be a very big Manny Pacquiao fan. I respected the guy. I really liked the way he fought. And having a pretty big connection to the Philippines, I can appreciate his humble beginnings. And I can tell you,
because I
lived in the Philippines, I don't feel bad for Manny Pacquiao. I feel bad for the people of the Philippines because he is their hero. He represents that country, and they rally behind him. They support him through thick and thin. But I lost a lot of interest in rooting for Manny Pacquiao when he made his comments towards homosexuals. I felt like, you know what? Whatever you believe is wrong to say that. But
it was an unintelligent comment.
And then he doubled down on it. But that doesn't take away from the fact that I still think he's one of the greatest fighters of my generation. However, Manny Pacquiao 10 years ago knocks this guy out in the third or fourth round. There's no decision. Manny Pacquiao, while the judges absolutely screwed him, he lost this fight because he lacked his killer instinct. He lacked his power. He couldn't put together his punches. I mean, Horn left himself so open to be knocked out. I'm telling you this. Champ or no champ, you put Jeff Horn in there against someone like Keith Thurman, and he gets absolutely obliterated. His defense was atrocious. He couldn't hit Pacquiao with anything other than a lucky right every once in a while. He did hit him with an uppercut where
he hit him behind the head a lot, well, didn't he? In the back of the head a lot?
He put him in a headlock a couple times and was punching him. You know, I thought the ref did bad there to allow that to happen multiple times. But Pacquiao got screwed by the judges. There's no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, Manny Pacquiao should have hung it up after the Mayweather fight because he's got nothing left. He doesn't have the heart to get in there anymore. He doesn't have the power. And quite honestly, I thought one of the things that Teddy Atlas said in that fight was 100% correct. And part of the reason why Pacquiao hasn't been an impressive fighter any longer. He was concerned about things that a fighter should not have been concerned about. Yes, Horn headbutted him twice. Now, I will say inadvertently, I didn't feel that they were on purpose. But when Pacquiao says, I want the doctor to look at it again, to me, just like Atlas said,
he's begging.
He really didn't want to be in there. You could tell, yeah. And I'm gonna continue by saying, I was thrilled with the decision. Why? because I bet Jeff Horn to win the fight.
Yeah, I know, Max.
At plus 475. However, I'm sick to my stomach about the decision. So I won money, and I'm not happy with the decision because I would prefer an honest fight as opposed to what we saw last night. So I can't imagine what it's like for these people who bet Pacquiao to have lost that fight, because you want to talk about bad beats? That is one of the worst beats, I would say, in the history of sports, because to me, there's no doubt in my mind, and you know what? I did think it was closer than Atlas said. However, that night...
15-13, to me, was a very fair score for that fight.
When you had
115-113.
One judge score it 117-111.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Waleska is the judge's name. I can't remember the last name. First name is Waleska.
I'll tell you right now.
When they scored,
Waleska Walden.
Walden. I think from New York, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
When you score that fight 117-111, you should have your ability to judge any type of fight revoked. To me, that judge is the Eastern Bloc country during the figure skate competition in the Olympics when a Russian skater is on the ice. That's how unbelievably bad that scorecard is. If you would have scored at 117-111 in favor of Pacquiao, I would have said you're wrong, because I had Horn winning a few rounds. I said it would have been probably 115-113, 116-112, not 117-111. Pacquiao didn't dominate the fight. He fought better. He hit more clean punches. Horn couldn't really hit Pacquiao with anything. There were no combinations. But another thing that they alluded to in the fight, both Atlas and Bradley, and Pacquiao didn't do it, and this falls on Freddie Roach. Pacquiao should have abused the body of Horn. Body shot.
No.
All Horn has was his legs. Pacquiao did nothing to take away his legs.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The decision was bad, but Pacquiao lost that fight because he didn't finish the job when he should have. He ran out of gas. He's done. Manny, you've had a great career. You've been a champion to 100 million people on the 7,000 islands of the Philippines. You are a senator in the Philippines. One day you could be president. Hang it up. It's done. It's over. You've got nothing left. And you know what? He's going to get in there with Horn again. He'll fight him. He'll beat him this time. But he's not going to knock him out. And he's going to get another fight. He's going to keep fighting. I don't want to see it. I don't want to remember Manny Pacquiao, this great champion, as a chump. Hang it up. It's done. It's over.
Well, you know, Mags, I'm going to say yes, it's over, but 38 years old, 2 years older is Floyd Mayweather, getting ready to fight again, and then he's going to, of course, fight after he gets done fighting in the farce against Conor McGregor. But the ninth round, Manny Pacquiao, for a second, looked like the old Manny Pacquiao. And where you're 100% right, and where Manny Pacquiao is not the same guy, is after that ninth round, the old Manny Pacquiao comes out like a house of fire. You see why he hasn't knocked anybody out since, what, 2009?
2009.
Yeah, because he doesn't do that anymore. The tactical... The tactician that he was as a fighter, the ability to finish and recognize, is either gone or he just can't do it anymore. But I'll also say this, you're 100% right, and Teddy did allude to this in the fight. It's one of the oldest adages in boxing. Take out the body and the chin will fall.
Well, if you saw the fight before on the undercard... Another Filipino fighter.
I saw that.
He fought the Japanese fighter, and he ended the fight with a vicious body shot.
Working the body.
I love watching knockouts on a body shot, because to me, that really shows your power.
Well, plus Mags, the size difference between Pacquiao is the perfect size to work the body of Jeff Horn, and he didn't do it, and I'm really surprised.
He left himself so exposed.
He did.
He did. The bottom line is, come on. The right side of Horn's face looked like it had gone through a meat grinder. I mean, it is amazing that the judges, and I'm telling you, Mags, the judging was based on blood. All the blood. Even though there was blood on Horn and his face beat up, Pacquiao's bleeding from both sides of his head from headbutts. And how that wasn't taken into consideration is beyond me. Listen, Mags, we got to roll on from this one. All I'll say to you is this, when you go back to it in the judging, I had nightmares and visions of CJ Ross and Mayweather and Canelo Alvarez fight. Oh my God. 114-114. I'll never forget it. The worst judge fight. You talk about this one bad. She might as well have judged that one, because I don't know how she missed that and put a tarnishment. Mayweather should maybe have a few tarnishments on his record that he doesn't. That draw, and it wasn't a draw, he won it by split decision. But the point is, that should have never been a split decision. That is a tarnishment that shouldn't be there as well. And I hate when judges have the ability to put a tarnishment on somebody's record like that. And Pacquiao was graceful at the end. You could tell, like you said, he didn't want to be there, Mags, and I'm not disagreeing. But it was sad to see him take a loss that he should never see. This kid, Horn, what is he? Now 17-0-1. Other than Manny Pacquiao, I looked at the people he fought. I've never heard of any one of them. Who are the 17 other people that Horn fought besides Pacquiao? Because I have no idea. Are these guys that crawled out under rocks or in local gyms, Mags? Because there's nobody ranked. How he got the shots beyond me.
Well, something you said earlier, and again, Manny Pacquiao, 5 years ago, that ninth round after he basically should have ended the fight, there's no way he comes out and loses the 10th round, because he did. Horn won that 10th round. And that's when I said, you know what? He's not going to beat this guy. It's going to go to the judge. The best way to win a boxing match, you take it out of the hands of the judge. Pacquiao failed to do that. He shouldn't have lost on the decision, but he lost because he failed to end the fight when he should have.
I'm going to agree. We got to go to break, and I'm going to agree with you that he did fail to end the fight when he should have. The first time I watched it, Mags, and if you want to watch it again, I recorded it. It was, I had 8 rounds going to Pacquiao and 4 going to Horn. The second time I watched it, wow, it was crazy. I had 6 rounds going, you know, I had about 7 rounds going to Pacquiao.
The big difference, though, it was that close. Ninth round should have been a 10-8 round.
Right. That's the difference. That 100% is the difference. Listen, we have Albert Hall, Vice President, NBA Summer League, coming up next. .76-1340, the number to call if you want to get involved. We're trying to get Albert Hall on the line. Hopefully, we'll have Albert here shortly. Mags, Summer League coming up starting this Friday. Some great matchups. I'll tell you what, it is going to be really cool. Summer League has really grown, too. You know, it started back in 2004. It's been going on for 13 years. And at first, you know, they were happy to get maybe 2 or 3 of the first 10 draft picks out here. Now, just about everyone comes. And, you know, it's really can make or break your career. There are guys like last year, a great example of somebody that in Summer League last year, Patrick McCaw, UNLV. Really, you know, Steve Kerr was already a little bit high on him when he picked him with Golden State in the second round, but in Summer League, you really saw a different Patrick McCaw. You saw a guy that elevated his level and really turned into and morphed into an NBA player, and we got to see him throughout the postseason at fill-in roles, even started a couple games. How cool is that? And And that's something you're going to see a lot of in the NBA Summer League this coming summer. Some of the games are this Friday, starting off the Summer League at 5:30. You have the L.A. Clippers, who did get Blake Griffin back, although he won't be at Summer League, obviously. But Lonzo Ball will be there. So will Kyle Kuzma and Josh Hart, three of the draft picks this year of the Los Angeles Lakers. And it'll be an all-L.A. game to start it, and you'll get to see Lonzo Ball. I got to see him play a couple of times last year. I should say this year, when UCLA played in the Pac-12 tournament. And all I can say is, wow, this kid has a very high basketball IQ. An ugly shot. And a very boisterous father. And Mags, I'm going to say this on my show while we're talking about this right now, and I've said it before, and I really want to reiterate this to people out there that are LeVar Ball haters. Let me ask you a question out there. What do you all do? Mags, you've got a son. I've got a son. What do we do as fathers for our sons when it comes to as far as bettering their life? What do we try to do? What is our goal as a father?
Well, I know where you're going with this, but obviously we want the very best for our child, but I know where you're going, and I'm going to say I disagree with what you're about to say.
Okay, well, you can disagree with it all you want, but again, I'm going to put it out there to anybody, and including myself. If I could go back in time and my father would be LeVar Ball, yeah, there would be some embarrassment and I probably wouldn't love it. But you know what? If you told me at 19 years old I'm going to sign a multi-year contract with the LA Lakers in basketball, that would be like signing with the New York Yankees in baseball, the Dallas Cowboys in football, and maybe the Montreal Canadiens or the Detroit Red Wings in hockey, whoever you want to put up there. Mags, that is ridiculous. At 19 years old, this kid is signing a multi-year million-dollar contract. I understand his father turned down a huge shoe contract to try to brand himself, and he's turned down money for his son to make himself more money, and we're all finding reasons to bitch about him. Christine Leahy on the Herd got into a big fight with him where he's like, stay in your lane. And again, we talked about it before on the show. Everyone fails to mention that the day before that show, when LeVar Ball was on, and him and Christine Leahy got into it. The day before, she was on with Jason Whitlock talking about how Lonzo Ball was terrified of his father. Now, again, we've talked about it before. If I was going on a show the day after somebody criticized and accused me based on what they assume that I am a bad, neglectful, or abusive father, I would have a huge problem with that person, okay? Don't criticize my ability to be a father or what I do unless you come and observe for yourself in my house. Lonzo Ball has never once made a comment that his father was neglectful, abusive, or any of the above in any way, shape, or form. Granted, he doesn't talk a lot about what his dad does in any way, shape, or form as well. But the bottom line is, this guy, with his work ethic and what he's put into his kids, one of them's in the NBA, another one's about to start at UCLA. They're all going to play there. They're all going to end up in the NBA. They're all going to be seven-figure people. How can you complain or argue with what this guy has done? We used to complain years ago about what Earl Woods did to Tiger. Earl Woods didn't make Tiger to be a cheater and to go to Perkins Restaurant and cheat on his wife. What he did is he helped him to be one of the greatest golfers in the history of that sport. His body and the torque that he put on his body playing the game and what made him hit the ball farther and better than anyone else was also his demise in the long run, and it made his body fall apart. But the bottom line is Earl Woods made him a great golfer, the same as LeVar Ball has helped make his son tremendous basketball players. His son was the second player picked in the NBA draft. He is going to play in Tinseltown for the Los Angeles Lakers and potentially bringing them back to prominence in time as they build this organization back up again. He is a cornerstone. He has a tremendous basketball IQ. There is a great upside. You've got to deal with a boisterous father. But again, people, how many of you would love to be able to do for your kids what LeVar Ball is doing for his sons? You might not like the way he's doing it. I don't either. I'm not condoning anything that LeVar Ball does other than give his kids a future, and not just a future. what kind of future do these kids have? Magnum, these kids are can you imagine being Lonzo Ball right now, 19 years old, the second player picked in the NBA draft by the Los Angeles Lakers, and we're looking for reasons to tear it down because his dad is a schmuck, okay? Big deal. You know what, Dad? I know you're probably not listening to Detroit. I wouldn't have minded you being more of a schmuck if you could have put me on the Detroit Tigers with a multi-million dollar contract. That's all I'm saying, brother.
Yeah, but where you're missing it is Zoe Ball has allowed LeVar Ball to be a complete jackass. If Zoe Ball had absolutely no athletic ability, LeVar Ball would be some irrelevant schmuck living in Chino Hills. Zoe Ball got to UCLA without his father being a jackass. He was a star at UCLA without his father being a jackass, at least on a national level. Maybe locally he was a complete idiot. That's possible. However, Zoe Ball would have been the number two overall pick by the Lakers with or without his father acting like a jackass, because he's a great player. He's going to be, and I will go on record with this, he is going to be Rookie of the Year in the NBA. I felt he could not have gone to a better position, a better situation. His talent and his ability to distribute the ball is tremendous. He is going to be a star, and he would have been a star.
So better than Markelle Fultz this year, huh? You think he's...
And I'm a Sixers fan. Wow. But I think all the focus is going to be on the Lakers from a media perspective. So I do think Markelle Fultz will have to exceed expectations and have a tremendous, tremendous season, because the media hype in L.A., it's not going to go away. There's going to be a definite media bias towards Zoe Ball because of where he is. If Zoe Ball goes to the T-Wolves, no. But because he's with the Lakers, there will definitely be a lot more attention focused on him. He's going to be a tremendous player. I think he's going to be an all-star player. I think he's that good.
Mags,
but I don't think his father helped him in any way in regards to where he was drafted. He was drafted by the Lakers because the Lakers felt that he could help them win basketball games. The same reason why Steve Alford recruited him to UCLA. The same reason why Chino Hills High School put him on the team. He can help them win games. I don't care about his father. I think, you know what? You want to be the father who, you want to be Richard Williams, you want to be Earl Woods, that's fine. Be that guy. I will never criticize any father for pushing their son to be the very best. Where I have an issue is, and I don't care what Christine Leahy said, to go on there and denigrate a woman doing her job, because let's be honest, she was doing her job, and I lost a lot more respect for LeVar Ball as a father with the shenanigans on the wrestling Monday night.
Yeah, that was terrible. Well,
it's not even that. Look, you know what? The kid is 16, 17 years old. He's prone to make mistakes. It happens. Where I have an issue with it is the fact that LeVar Ball has not come out and said a word like, hey, you don't have to apologize, but at least say, you know what? We're going to teach my son from this moment. We're going to teach him that this is not something you can do. The Balls have been absolutely silent on the issue. You don't go on national television and drop the N-bomb. I'm sorry. I find that word to be absolutely vile and disgusting. And
but here, Mags, we're way off the course here. I'm telling you straight up, you're saying that LeVar Ball didn't have any influence on where Lonzo got drafted. He didn't have any influence on him playing at Chino Hills or UCLA. No, as far as him getting picked up and drafted there. But how many players that can you imagine in every sport? Guys with tremendous talent that are guided the wrong way, that don't have proper guidance, and don't make it. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, again, when he said, who was the toughest player you ever played against in your life? He said Earl Manigault. And everyone's like, who the hell is that? The GOAT. They made a motion picture on the guy. He was a junkie that if this guy would have the proper guidance, might be a Hall of Famer right now, that most people that haven't seen the movie don't even know who the hell he is. My point, again, is LeVar Ball made these kids what they are by hammering them, working out in the backyard every day, building a court in the backyard conducive to them working out and playing day in and day out. They love the game. They're where they're at now because of him pushing, probably driving them nuts. I'm sure
fine.
If we would have watched
that's
them.
That's fine. You could push them. That's fine. Don't be a jackass.
I'm not, but you said that he's not the reason they're where they're at now. He's 100%
no,
the reason they're at now.
If LeVar Ball had, if Zoe Ball had absolutely no talent, he wouldn't be
but
there.
He found a way to get the most out of him to maximize. I'll bet there are so many other kids that are mediocre.
Zoe Ball was born with.
So all three of these kids and these other kids,
but
they're
we don't
they
know how
be
good.
They,
let's stop. Okay, let's stop with the other two because we have no idea
Mags,
how good the other two
you're
are.
You're right there. If they are anywhere close to him, we'll have this conversation again in a couple of years when they're all three in the NBA, and you'll be like, "Wow, that is pretty damn impressive that a father can put three sons in the NBA by developing this intense work ethic." Listen, we got to go to break. I don't know if we'll talk to if we don't get a chance to talk to Albert Hall today. I want to let you know about the Summer League because again, it is going to be awesome. Just real quickly, running this down. We're going to be covering. We'll have some interviews next week, but again on Friday, which it all starts off this coming Friday. You got starting off at 5:30. That is, it's at the Thomas and back. You've got the Clippers, and again going against the Lakers. Then at 7:30, you have Josh Jackson, the fourth pick. He'll be there with the Phoenix Suns as they're playing De'Aaron Fox, the fifth pick, and Justin Jackson, who was the 15th pick, and also Harry Giles, the 20th pick. Sacramento Kings did a lot of damage in the first round. That should be an interesting game. On Saturday, you've got Dennis Smith, who was picked 9th of the Dallas Mavericks.
I'm really looking forward to seeing Dennis Smith. I think he's going to
really
be a really good
too.
Player, too.
And you know what? I am curious to see what kind of player Larry Markkanen will be. The big, huge trade with Minnesota, the Bulls really, everyone says the Bulls just got shafted in this trade. I watched Larry Markkanen play for Arizona, and I didn't see softness. Like,
no.
When I watched, what's the kid's name from Bishop Gorman that played for us for a year? The big kid. God almighty, I can't
Stephen
believe
Zimmerman.
Stephen Zimmerman. I saw soft. I never saw that with Larry Markkanen, and I'm surprised he's getting the rap he was getting. Arizona was a team that they were. Granted, they had some great players on that team this year, but he was a huge part of why they were so good. 5:30 on Saturday, you will see the Boston Celtics and their number one pick, Jason Tatum, with the third pick in the draft, going up against UCLA. And you'll finally get to see on Saturday night the number one pick in the draft, Markelle Fultz of the 76ers, who I think just right now are really looking like a team that is going to make noise in the East up until they get up against either Boston or Cleveland.
They just gave J.J. Redick an absolutely sick one-year deal.
One-year deal. But you know what? J.J. Redick, you know what I like, too? It's not just J.J. Redick, what Philadelphia did. They also brought in Amir Johnson from the Boston Celtics to bring in some more, you know, veterans to help these rookies out, Mags. And I really think they've planned out their team. I think the biggest winners so far in free agency in the draft, without question, Minnesota Timberwolves and the Philadelphia 76ers. I think those two. Jimmy Butler instantly made Minnesota Timberwolves a solid playoff team and a team that is going to be able to play with the Celtics. Notice I didn't say the Cavaliers. And what have the Cavaliers done? Absolutely nothing. They couldn't shelf Kevin Love, and yet they're the same team. They still have Kyrie Irving and LeBron James. Do I really need to say more? This is Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. We'll be right back. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. It is time for Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, located at the 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, a stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. Two happy hours every day, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. That is Buffalo Wild Wings at the 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. And the Philadelphia 76ers, Mags, I'll kick it off. We're going to be my Blazin', and they still are going to be my Blazin', based on the draft and free agency moves. But then again, the Golden State Warriors are getting everyone back. And so are
the Cleveland Cavaliers at this point as well. So I don't know that the moves by the 76ers are going to really improve them. But again, well, there's no question they're going to improve them. I just don't know if they move them any closer. But you look at what Philadelphia has now with Joel Embiid, if that guy can stay healthy. Ben Simmons is a top five player in the NBA probably within 2 years. And now, you know, you add Foles to that mix, and this team is scary. And then they go out and get J.J. Redick, as you mentioned, on a very gaudy one-year, $23 million deal. And they pick up Amir Johnson from the Boston Celtics. Philly is bringing in some vets to complement these young stars. And, of course, you mentioned Šorić. This is a team right now, Mags, that I think is on the brink of big things. It's just unfortunate because LeBron James still dictates the East. The big question is going to be next year when LeBron James becomes a free agent next summer, what is he going to do? Is he going to stay in Cleveland or he's going to move on? I'll tell you right now, my opinion, see you, LeBron. He is already completely disenchanted with Dan Gilbert again. The two of them can't stand each other. And it's one more year in Cleveland and done. What do you got for me, Mags?
Well, Dan Gilbert's a buffoon, but that's besides the case. My blazing, I'm going to go with Nick Suzuki. Now, you may ask yourself, who is Nick Suzuki?
You better know who Nick Suzuki is.
You're going to know who he is. Probably not this year, but I'm going to say in the upcoming years, because he was the second draft pick ever in the history of the Golden Knights and had a chance to go to the Golden Knights development camp a couple days this week, went to three scrimmages that they had. Nick Suzuki was a standout. This kid, he has great instincts. He has an ability to score goals, and boy, did he score goals during this scrimmage. He was by far and away the best offensive player that they had at this scrimmage.
Better than Cody Glass, right?
I thought so, absolutely, yes.
Mags, but, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to make a point that I said this last week. That I said I lived very close to Toronto, to Windsor, Ontario, and Detroit, and I was very familiar with the Ontario Hockey League.
Yes.
And I said anybody that can score 50-plus goals in the Ontario Hockey League in a season is a bona fide NHL player. I said it last week on the show, and everyone's in love with Cody Glass. I like him, too. I said this is Suzuki guy scoring that many goals in the OHL is solid as a rock. I'll bet he is a Golden Knight. I'm going to say not this year, but I'll bet next year at some point this kid comes up when he's 20 years old.
Yeah, he was, and the funny thing is we talked to him every day. He was there, super nice kid, very humble, and he knows he needs to get better to play in the league, but I'm guessing he'll probably be here in September for Golden Knights training camp before he's sent my guest to Chicago, but man, he looked, granted, it's against prospects, but he looked really, really good. He looked like he's going to be a pretty good player in the future.
Love it. Blazing brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. Two happy hours every day. America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And, of course, during football season coming up in a couple months, I will be there every Monday night for Monday Night Football. We give away replica jerseys. We give away wings party. We give away wings. And we have some special events that are pretty cool as well. And, again, that is Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Mags, it is time for one of my favorite segments when we get a good one. Fact this! Fact, a pretty entertaining fight took place in Brisbane, Australia.
I'm here to protect you, okay? I think you had enough.
He's alive.
Oh, no, I'm going to continue.
Yes, he's alive.
Show me something in this round.
Yep,
I'm going to stop the fight.
Yep,
that's it.
Does that sound like the corner of the winner? Well, it was. The fact that it was an entertaining fight was ruined by three judges who apparently had blood in their eyes and missed a damn good fight that brought back nightmares of C.J. Ross, the judge in the Floyd Mayweather Jr., Saul Canelo Alvarez Jr. middleweight championship, where she called a clear Mayweather beating a 114-114 draw. That was back in September of 2013, if you forgot it. Boy, oh boy. I'll tell you what right now. Like I said, the fight might have been a little bit closer if you watch it a second time than it was the first time I saw it when I scored at 8-4 as far as eight rounds and a two-point round going to Pacquiao in the ninth. But, wow, is all I can say. So it's a fact, man. It was an entertaining fight. It's really a shame that it tarnished Pacquiao's career because, again, there was no reason for that. There's just, it's sad that you have to take a loss based on judges when everyone knows you won. Really, really terrible. Listen, I want to move over real quick. We are going to go. It is time for our Las Vegas 51s report. And on the phone with us right now, Jim Gemma, the media relations director of the Las Vegas 51s. What's up, Jimmy?
Brian, thanks for having me on this morning.
Oh, absolutely. Talk about the 4th of July game coming up. It's a welcome back veterans promotion and the fireworks. And, Jimmy, I talk about the fireworks all the time. The Friday night fireworks, I always say rival Disneyland. Last year was my first year going to a 51s game on the 4th of July. I took Shauna and her two daughters. All I could say was, wow. Put it this way, by the time they ended, we were literally worn out.
Yeah, actually, the teams in Salt Lake, they're having their fireworks shows this weekend, tonight and tomorrow. But, yeah, Tuesday's the fireworks extravaganza. This is our 35th season, as you know. The majority of the years have been on July 3rd. Half the league gets July 3rd, half the league gets July 4th. So I think it's the third time in the last 4 or 5 years we've played on July 4th. So, you know, we're struggling on the field this year between the chalk lines, but one thing we definitely know how to do is shoot off fireworks. Obviously, it's the extended fireworks show on Tuesday, so we'd love for everybody to come out. All the tickets on the pre-sale are $16, $17 the night of the game, so you really can't beat it on the 4th. And, yeah, we do have the best fireworks show in town. There's quite a fireworks show in the neighborhoods around here, too, once dusk goes on. So you'll be seeing fireworks as soon as it goes dusk.
Looking extremely forward to it. I will be there again this Tuesday night. It's a lot of fun. And you mentioned, Jimmy, the 51s are having an off year. Don Logan, I was on of Cofield & Company with us. Of course, you set that up. Basically said a lot of shuffling, some great talent, as we all know about Ahmed Rosario. If you've been down there at all and seen this kid, you are talking about a future all-star for sure in major leagues. And if this guy stays healthy and things work out well for him, we could very well be talking about a future Hall of Famer. That is a ways down the road. He is going to be the starting shortstop in the AAA All-Star game a week from Wednesday on July the 12th. But what are the woes, do you think, Jimmy, this year? They're having him up in the big club as well.
Well, also, one more thing on Rosario. He is going to play for the world team in the Futures game a week from today. So if someone's by the TV on the MLB Network, please watch him in Miami. He is a special player. He will be the starting shortstop for the Mets next year. You know, all teams have roster movement. To me, that's a big crutch. To me, it's always been a crutch. You know, you look at the players in our lineup night in, night out. We still have good players here. There's just a variety of things why we're 31 and 51 right now and having a very frustrating season. But you got to give credit to Salt Lake. They're in first place. The Angels, AAA affiliate, and they're playing real well right now.
Yeah, you know, and baseball, it's a fickle, funny thing. I mean, the Cubs are flirting 500, and it's amazing what they've done this year after last year. And, you know, I mean, really, everything has pretty much stayed the same. I mean, they're definitely hurting at the top of the lineup. That was a huge loss. Hamels turned out to be a bigger loss than I thought it would. But really, who thought, you know, Arrieta would just be completely done this year? Lackey having, you know, looking like he's done as well. So my point is things can change in a hurry, even when you look at a solid roster. Jimmy, upcoming promotions, some of the games coming up. They're coming back from an extended road trip on Tuesday the 4th. Talk about what you got coming up here.
Yeah, we got a quick three-game homestand, the 4th, 5th, and 6th, all games at 7 o'clock. We're at 7 o'clock the rest of the season except for Labor Day. Well, obviously, we'll have Budweiser Dollar Beer Night on Thursday. Team will go to Albuquerque leading into the All-Star break. And then actually 32 of our last 52 games are at home. So we're here a lot in July. In August, we'll come back right after the All-Star break for an 8-game homestand against Albuquerque and Fresno, July 13th to the 20th. Again, all those games are at 7.
Cool business. I promised you I'll give you a 4-pack of tickets right now to the 51-702-876-1340. That is for a family 4-pack. Jim Gemma, Media Relations Director for the Las Vegas 51s, my friend. Always a pleasure having you on the show, and I'll see you out at the ballpark Tuesday night.
Brian, thanks for your continued coverage of our team. We really appreciate it. We hope to see everybody out here on the 4th. You know, we're hoping to sell this thing out.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, we are just about out of time here, running low. Do me a favor. If you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like it, tell them anyways. We are here every Sunday morning, same time, same place. Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. I'm Brian Feldman. We'll see you next week.